Appreciate it so much. You're with me tonight in the book of Romans chapter 15, if you would please. Romans chapter 15, and I want you to just stay seated tonight. I may get to preaching some. I'm not sure. I feel like I'm more burdened to teach tonight and just share with you some things that God has given me. I've never preached. I preached from this passage a little bit, but I never have done or outlined it or thought about it the way that God just began to speak to my heart. My wife goes with me a few times. We've been over, and I just saw your boats up here, beautiful on the wall. And I saw Brother Ferret's name over there, one of my dearest friends, and down in Gulfport with the Beams Minister. I've been over there on Monday and Tuesday. Pastor, you ought to go. Man, I tell you what, some men that, well, at least one man that Brother Ricky was raised up with, I think they may have gone to college at the same time up there. Brother Johnny Pope closed it out last night. And man alive, ain't nobody, it ain't but one Johnny Pope, is all I can say. But it's just one of every one of us. Do you know that? You may have somebody, I told your dear pastor a while ago, that a preacher friend of mine at Grace Baptist over in Brookhaven, Mississippi, Brother Wade Biggs, and it would pass for his double. Oh, I've never seen two men in my life. I think Brother Tom and Brother Ricky sort of look a little bit alike. Two peas out of the same pot, but pastor there, I know where his double's at. I got, amen. But it is a joy. Thank you again for letting us be here, and I will be mindful of my time. Could I do like some preachers? Could I give you as short a long introduction as I could from this passage, and then I get right on down the message? I've got five major thoughts that the Lord gave me today. Like I said, my wife is driving for me all day long, and I've just been sitting over studying. She can't read and ride, but it doesn't bother me one bit. And so if I can get my mouth to shut up and not be running on at her and sit there and study and get in a study mode, high gear, and my mind start working, every now and then I get God to give me something. And I appreciate where the Lord does that. But you're in Romans chapter 15. Of course, no greater book in the Bible on doctrine than the book of Romans. Never start a church that I don't use two books in the very beginning. And I'm about ready to go back through this because so many people, when you start a church, normally you go through three times as many people as you keep. And so it's about the third run when you get along there. The first church we started, we went in 6 months. We went from seven people. This was in Mississippi before I ever went. And, of course, Ray Guernsey, that you probably went to school with over there, you remember him years ago. Ray followed me up. Ray didn't get there till later. He was with Brother Tharp up here in Shreveport. He was his song leader, I think, and all. And he should have come there. And right before we went to France, finally got him there. I knew God had put it in my heart. I told you, I always pray for Titus and Timothy. And I believe God, if you pray and walk with the Lord, God will show you what he's doing if you'll get close enough to him. And he'll do that in your own life at all. My problem is not staying close enough to him sometimes. But anyway, I remember we went to 40, average 40, 45 people. And probably about, it took a month when they started leaving. We went back down to seven. And I had a dear missionary, he's retired, he's almost 90 years old. He worked out of People's Church over there with People's Baptist, Brother Roloff, for years. Your Brother Bill Vaughn, 17 years, down in Mexico. And I remember having Brother Bill when we were back down to seven, and he come there and he said, what did it take to do it the first time? Well, that was the greatest word of encouragement, I think, of any missionary, Brother Ricky, that I've ever had. I said, man, just praying, knocking doors, telling people about Jesus, as she was singing so beautifully about a while ago. And he said, well, if God did it one time, you don't believe he can do it again? I said, oh, thank you, man. I said, oh, me. I was praying. I said, Lord, you're going to have to do it. But, you know, Roman Catholics use that verse all the time. It's their favorite verse there in Matthew 16, 18. The problem is they got the wrong builder. They wanted to be Peter. Man, he was so faithful. He's so feeble, he couldn't do nothing, man. And they got so many fables about him, but because he's feeble, I reckon. Anyway, the Lord did it again. And Ray was there for 10, 12 years, something like that. And it was great. But you're anywhere here in Romans chapter 15. Let me just look at it a few moments for introduction, and then we'll get down to the main thing. Verse 14, Paul said, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Now, he's given them all of this doctrine. Now, he's going to get down to sharing his heart, his personal life with them. He's going to open his soul, if you please, to these dear people. And he always does it the right way. He does it courteously, doesn't he? In verse 14, when he's never even been there to see them. See, by the way, all Paul's got is hearsay on these folks. He's never been to Rome. He didn't start that church. But he had bumped into Christians here and yonder, and the Holy Spirit had inspired him to write this wonderful letter. Some people call it not even a letter. They call it a trestis there. They said it was more like that than it was any of his other letters. And you have to say, it is the most different of all the books that the Holy Spirit ever moved him on him to write. But he sees goodness. Now, the first time he uses that word goodness and addressing these dear people is back over chapter 2 and verse 4, where it said, "Thou knowest not, O man, that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Hey, you know the reason why you're going to heaven tonight is because the Holy Spirit gave you not just the gift of faith, but he gave you the gift of repentance. And that was what John the Baptist preached, that's what Jesus preached, that's what Peter preached, that's what Paul preached. What's our message today, by the way? Huh? It's the repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only the goodness of God. God let me alone, just left me like I was, had never sent somebody to tell me, sister, about Jesus. I died. I buried a dear lady, by the way, this past summer, 92 years of age. And she witnessed to me all my junior and high school when I worked for her for 75 cents an hour, keeping up her yard. She wouldn't get off my back. And she kept telling me about the Savior, my dear aunt. She was the first Christian that I met in that beer-drinking family that I came up in. But she didn't drink. And she loved Jesus, and she was faithful. She would do all the flyer arrangements in her church. And she invited me to a revival meeting there in August of 1963. 53 years ago, I suppose it's been. We'll be this coming August. And the little man of God, whom God had granted repentance and faith to as a plumber in Jackson, Mississippi, up underneath how somebody had witnessed to him. Hey, that's how it is, folks. Huh? I mean, people that just love Jesus and can't get enough of him, and can't keep him to themselves, they want to just share him with somebody else. That's what it's all about. And if you ever get over that, and you're going to miss out on the goodness of God. So these were some good people, amen, in verse 14. And really what made them good is you find it in verse 15, another G. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God." How does grace come? It comes through the goodness of God. That's how Paul got it. That's how these people got it. See, they got God's grace because they got God's goodness. And I think if you did a little study on those words, you'd find that they're very, very close. Goodness and grace, huh? Probably grace is just a manifestation of God's goodness towards us. I mean, it's there. And then look in verse 16. I love this. Paul said that grace was given unto him for what? Verse 16, "that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." Huh? Look at that G. Paul was a Jew. And he tried to work with those dear people. And his own family and his own folk fought him so hard that he had to wash his hands and said, "I'm going to work and labor with the Gentiles." Of course, he was directed by the Holy Spirit to do that. And many of his churches, this church at Rome, no doubt there were some Jews in it. But the majority of the people there were Gentiles. And he said that was his ministry, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles And how did he minister? What did he minister with and all? He said, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. He knew that he could not come with any souls to the Savior unless the Holy Spirit would grant them conviction and repentance and faith. Hey, folks, it's impossible that the Lord's church be built anywhere on this earth without the sweet work of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I stood rebuked so hard. There was a dear man, Brother Rick, I tell you, precious. He pastored out there, started a church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. His son is pastor of Old Home Church Central Baptist in Hasbro, Brother Dean Miller. And his daddy, Dean Miller, said, that was the greatest testimony. He started sharing. I started crying at the beginning. Saved in his own vomit at 27 years of age, a drunk. I mean, just committed folk, sold out. And I want to give him, I want him to come to Louisiana. We just got 5 minutes of it the other day, and he shared about that. And man, he was such a great friend of Brother Roloff. So many of the dear men of God, Dr. Lee Robinson, those people, back when he was just a young preacher, he'd have them all come out there to Colorado. Boy, don't you know that was some kind of a thing. But he preached to us on the work, person, the work of the Holy Spirit, and how we sin against him and how much things that come in. Hey, folks, it's his work. Huh? That's what Jesus, by the way, left him down here to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did, and he's still doing his work, by the way. He's still bringing men. Some people have called him, the old-timer writers used to call him the high sheriff of heaven. How much I need him to work in my heart and life. How much I need him to work through my heart and life. How much these people here were really, Paul said, his work. The Holy Spirit had done this work of repentance and faith in their hearts and lives. And then verse 17, he said, I therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ. I heard Brother Rick or someone praying a while ago. Maybe it was in the room, Brother Rick, and I heard you mention that. I try to be sensitive to people's prayers when they're praying, because I may, in that prayer, God may just give them a word that I need to help me in my prayer life, to encourage me, to bless me. And I was blessed by that prayer that you prayed a while ago, Brother Ricky. Paul says here, I have therefore whereof I may glory. And folks, it's always through who? Jesus Christ. Well, we can't glory in the flesh. Hmm? All that's vain. That's self-glory. That's not worth a dime. But hey, if we glory through Jesus Christ, that's where it's at. You know, those things which pertain to God. For I will, verse 18, not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ have not wrought by me. I like that attitude, don't you? That's a sweet attitude there. Huh? That just take the wind out of your sails. If God don't do it, if the Lord doesn't do it, hey, it's his church anyway. It's his work. And man, we ought to just be grateful that he'll let us get into it. Been involved in faith promise, mission, giving. We started Grace Baptist Church in Escatawba, Mississippi. And Brother Rick, I remember all them boys that came by, Bruce Tynes, all them, Lester Hobbs, all them boys that you went to school with up there years ago. And of course, Ray was there for, I married him and Vicky, his dear wife. I took a group to a youth camp, and that's where they met at, and I will forget that. And that was many, many years ago. And what God did there and how God is still on the throne, how God is still working today, if we'll just let him. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ have not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I was looking up and studying, they said about 1,400 miles. I mean, that was pretty good, buddy, when they didn't have cars like we've got today. That's pretty good when they just had boats to sail around in, like these boats here, or donkeys, or mule, or whatever. They didn't have all these modern. 1,400 miles, huh, that Paul covered. But now he's on the move again. Now he's getting ready to get out. Let me give you something in the next 10, 15 minutes very quickly here. Some thoughts that I've got. And I just wrote down what I think is, for me, a real message here. And I call it recollections from a missionary's life. Some recollections. Paul goes back and he looks over these journeys to this point, Brother Rick, and he's looking back on where he's been, and he's looking at what God has done. And so he's just writing to these dear people whom he wants to see, and who eventually, not in the best circumstances, he is going to see. I didn't get to go to the Mamertine prison when we were in France, Brother Rick, but I did get to make a trip down there to see a missionary or two in Italy, and I got into Rome. I didn't get over to the Mamertine prison where they said he was probably beheaded, but I did get to see a lot of the other sites there and all, and I was just wondering about that. Let me give you about five things very quickly about the Apostle Paul that he recollects as he's thinking back over his life. In verse 20, he said, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel." Paul, first of all, was a preacher. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, "I'm ready to preach." And anywhere and everywhere you find the Apostle Paul, if it's one-on-one, if it's a crowd of people, I mean, if they're throwing rocks at him or what have you, I mean, he's always ready to preach or to tell forth what the Lord has done in his heart and in his life. And it doesn't matter if it's one or if it's a big crowd, as I just said. No, he is always ready. I wonder, are we ready? I mean, you say, "Well, I'm not called to be a pastor or missionary or what have you." But, I mean, are you ready to be a witness for Jesus? I mean, are you looking for that opportunity? Probably one of the greatest things that ever happened to me was an evangelist that I'm sure, Brother Rick, Pastor, you may have known him. He just died a year or two ago. He came and helped my pastor's funeral. He was all crippled up. He was living out in Texas. But I never will forget my pastor having an evangelist one time by the name of Carl Hatch. Well, Brother Carl Hatch, he came and he started a church in Florida before he went into evangelism. He was right up here in Arkansas, your neighboring state to the north was where he was from originally. Got saved up in Michigan there, and God called him, preached, made him an evangelist out of him. And I remember when he came to Central Baptist Church in Hattiesburg 40-something years ago and said, "Son, have you ever prayed about starting a church?" I said, "No." He said, "I want you to pray about her." He said, "You love to preach, don't you?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do. I love to preach." And I said, "It's in me, it's around me, it's out of me and all." Hey, I'm reading now, after 52 years of preaching, I'm going back and reading some of the same books that I read 52 years ago. I had a young man at Gulfport last night, and I let him have a book. And I said, "Man, this man's got the greatest illustrations." I'm talking about Herschel Ford there, Simple Sermons. Oh, man. If you're a preacher, you ought to get some of the greatest. I don't know of a man that in my lifetime that could out illustrate simplicity the Word of God. Preach it. That to me, hey, it was preaching, friend, that got me saved by the grace of God. It was a man of God that was probably no more than 4 foot three, 5 foot three, 5 foot four, and he preached, and I thought he was going to die behind this pulpit or the pulpit in my home church there that I was saved in Pascagoula there in August of 1963. But his preaching, somehow or another, got through to my heart and got my attention. And the sweet Holy Spirit of God awakened my dead spirit to a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, first and foremost, was a preacher. And that's the kind of missionaries we need. We need some preaching missionaries. Now, this dear brother is a preaching pastor now, but still got a missionary heart, as great as anybody I know in this country. And but that's what we need. We need some missionaries that's got some preaching them, friend. And they need to have preached, Brother Rick, before they ever go to a field. Because if they can't preach here, what makes you believe, friend, where they're going to go over yonder that they'll preach? And thank you for letting me come preach tonight. I appreciate that. Now, he's not only a preacher, but Brother Ricky probably could, after all his years there in England, he could probably say that I'm about to say that maybe out of all the missionaries that I've ever met, probably only 15 or 20%. I wished it was 85 or 80 are going to be what the next point that I want to make with you here. Okay, if I could see that. You see that with me? Verse 20. "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel." Watch this now. "Not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." What's that say? Not only was a preacher, friend, he was a pioneer. Hey, John the Baptist was a pioneer. He's the first one in a real sense that ever said that Jesus was the Lamb of God. That taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus hadn't even come on the scene yet. But here's that pioneer saying that he's coming. And dear friends, Paul was always looking for another place. He was always looking for another people. He was always looking. Hey, he already spoke in more languages than anybody else. He started speaking tongues more than you all. So it wasn't a problem for him with dialects and all of that, Brother Rick. He would go from place to place to place to place. And everywhere he went, he was looking for the Lord to do a work in the hearts and lives of the people. A pioneer. A pioneer. It would be sort of like our men going ashore. And Brother Rick's been there before. I've been there many times. And I remember the first time that one of our heroes left England and came over to France. He said, "You got to take me to those Normandy beaches." I said, "Why, Brother Mel?" He said, "Because," he said, "I know that my unit," even though he went to the Pacific and fought down there in those islands there. He said, "When my basic training units split up," he said, "half the men went to Europe." He said, "I know a bunch of them went that big red one." And he said, "Let's go over there." And every one of those monuments there with those soldiers listed, Brother Mel, I couldn't hardly get him off that beach, brother. And I got him down to the waterline. And he said, "I don't want to go down there where them boys came ashore." And man, we looked up at those cliffs, and he had to get that nitroglycerin bottle out of his pocket there and take some of those pills. He said, "Man, just think about it." He said, "We're free in the greatest country in all the world because," he said, "some people were willing to be pioneers and leave the land where they were raised and born and raised and all, and come over here to fight so that these people could have their freedom." Now, if we could do that, some of us had to go. Some of you men, maybe like myself, Vietnam veterans, or maybe fought in Korea. I don't think anybody's here old enough tonight to have fought in World War II. I didn't see any faces that old here. But, hey, some of us have been there. Some of us have had to do that. And, you know, there's always been pioneers in every area of life. And I got to think, hey, man, if I can go and I can dodge bullets, and I could throw bullets back and say, "Man, I don't want a key. Just keep your head down. Let me get back home, and you'll be all right in your place, and I'll be all right in my place. And that'd be fine." Hey, I mean, but still, you got to have that pioneer spirit. I remember many, many years ago when I worked on the staff of my pastor. I was a bus director and youth director. I didn't do much with the youth because I got too saved and didn't know how to cut up and carry on enough with them to be able to do that. But I love that bus ministry. And he sent me out one time with $10,000, Brother Rick. Said, "Go up and find us some buses. Man, we need some buses." The church had allocated $10,000. I didn't have it in my pocket, but I could go bid on them buses. And if we got the bid, then we could send the money. We'd take men from the church. We'll go up and pick those buses. And I drive all the way up through North Mississippi, go all them little towns, man. And I said, "There's a good old fundamental Bible-believing independent Baptist church in this town." And I'd say that, and I'd say that, and I'd say that was when God was dealing with us to start that first work that Brother Ray became the pastor of there when we went to France there in 79. And always say, "Man, here's another town, here's another place. This place needs a church. Huh? God, you need to raise your body up here." And man, I just it just get to you. Paul, he was a pioneer. I'm thankful we can study his life. I'm thankful we can study his ministry and see what he was. Third thing, very quickly. Paul not only was, but I got to reading this thing and I never thought about this. Preacher's in a funny way. I've thought about this. He said in verse 21, "But it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." And I got to thinking about it. I said, now how could Paul say that? Why would he say that? They haven't heard of Jesus. The Bible says here, "To whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. They that have not heard shall understand." And not only was Paul a pioneer, but I got to thinking. I said, Paul's a people person. Sister, that song you sung a while ago, you kept repeating. What was that phrase that you kept repeating Excuse me, if I fall, Brother Rick, pick me up. My knee is giving me fits. What was that, that phrase you kept saying over her?
Again.
You never mentioned him to me. Hey, he said some people never see. He said some people never heard. Well, doesn't, hey, have you talked to him? Have you talked to him today so that you could talk to them today? I left my room this morning after reading several chapters of my Bible, that sleep in there in Gulfport. And I said, Lord Jesus, who are you going to let me speak to today? Who are you going to let me share your good love and mercy and grace? I walk out there and there's a dear lady, and she's just lost her husband this past year. She's working there in that motel. She's got a son that's at the point of death. And just sharing there, and I got to speaking to her. I said, ma'am, can I pray for your son? I said, by the way, where are you? She said, I don't go to church anywhere. I said, well, listen, we're just finishing up in a meeting last night over here. Oh, I spoke to the pastor's wife. I said, but you need to go visit that church. And I said, let me ask you. I said, ma'am, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? Oh, she said, I'm saved and all, but I'm not living for God. I'm not serving the Lord. I'm not going to church. I said, we know Faith Baptist Church is at on Canal Boulevard. She said, I go by there every day. I said, why don't you go there? I mean, hey. And then to give out tracts here, yonder, and there. That shares the love of Christ with somebody. You say, well, preacher, you just don't know me. I'm too timid. I'm too timid. I just can't advance toward people. I'm just a little bit too shy and everything. Hey, you say, how can I get over my shyness and all? Well, if you believe the promises of God. The Bible says there in the book of 2 Timothy, I believe it is chapter 1, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. I believe it's the next word is joy. And then of a sound mind. Huh? If you say it tonight, you have the same Holy Spirit I have. Huh? You do. I promise you that. Yeah. And he's not a spirit of fear. He said, I would like to be a people person. Well, you're going to have to get over your fear, right? Yeah, how are you going to get over the fear? Huh? You're going to have to believe that you have the Holy Spirit, but not just believe that you have the Holy Spirit. You've got to let him have you. And he can help you. He will help you to be that witness, to be able to do as our dear sister said a while ago and not have to be put in a question form. Did you speak to me about Jesus or to them or those? Huh? I mean, I said, Paul was a people person. Huh? I tell you what, he had a smile on his face. He was always frowning and complaining about things not going right. I mean, I think he was just praising the Lord so much that he just bubbling over. He couldn't keep him to himself. That's sure. Let me give two more things very quickly, and I'm through. Okay? I see Paul here. He's a preacher first and foremost. He's a pioneer, and then he was a people person. And then I find something else wonderfully. Verse 23, but now having no more place in these parts, having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey. And of course, if you go back to chapter 1, you'll find that he wanted to share with them some spiritual gifts that God had given him to share with them. That was his burden. He wanted to come there and be a blessing and a help and an encouragement to those children of God. And so he says here, to be brought on my way, in other words, by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I've performed this, and I have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. We read a bunch of verses there. What's that saying, preacher? I think it's saying that Paul was a partner. Huh? Paul was a partner with the Lord's church, or the Lord's churches as they were scattered here, yonder, and there. And he wanted to be involved in their projects. That's what he wanted to be. And you know, that's what a missionary is. A missionary, if he just reflects and he recollects his thoughts and his ministry and all. I mean, it's not about him, but it's about them. It's about the Lord's churches, Brother Rick. Here, yonder, and there. And here, he's got a project in mind. And he's been making up a collection. And he's having Titus and Timothy. We read in the different Corinthians and all these different churches, huh? Because the church at Jerusalem has had so much persecution and she's become so poor, and because these people have gone out and everywhere they went, they preached the gospel and churches were blessed and formed and helped and encouraged. Now, hey, because of the riches that they are enjoying in the goodness of the Lord and his marvelous salvation, his grace to them, they said, hey, we can help those poor saints there. And Paul says, man, hey, I want to get in the fellowship of that. Hey, you know what? I read not several years ago, and that word fellowship that you have back there, and that's one of my favorite verses there. The apostle continues, first of all, a doctor. If you ain't got no doctor, no foundation, you ain't got nothing but a fun club, an entertainment center. But if you got, hey, if you got apostles, doctrine, preacher, preach doctrine. I love doctrine. Huh? I love it. I'm reading a book right now, and I want to try to get every copy up. And I'd like to see if I couldn't get Don Green and him, if we could get permission, because I don't think I'll ever be Green in my printing anymore. But it's The Glories of the Cross. This man went to your country, dear sister, and he pastored for a year or two. A.C. Dixon did at Spurgeon's Tabernacle. And Oliver B. Green said there was no greater book other than his King James Bible that had blessed his heart so more wonderfully, huh, than that book there and motivate him. And I looked in there, he must have printed that thing 10 times, 5,000 this time, 10,000 this time. He's got the years of all of it. And he got permission from Erdman's, huh, to read the Glories of the Cross. Hey, I'll tell you what, without the cross empty, huh, with the Savior interceding at the Father's right hand for us, we don't have a message. And there's no greater doctrine in the Word of God, huh, than that blood of his cross that is shed. Huh? What can wash away my sins? What can wash away the sins of anybody? A Frenchman, an Englishman, hey, an American. There's no other way. The way of the cross, hallelujah, leads home, praise God. And Paul wanted to announce that message, but he wanted to tell anybody and everybody. He was not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you and I, we ought not to be. Let me close with one more little quick thought. I tell you, it's just good sometimes. Yeah, I got to tell my wife the other day, I went into a Lifeway bookstore. I don't go into those very much. They used to be Baptists, and I'd go into them a lot more when they were Baptists. Hey, Lifeways now. But I went in one at Gulfport the other day. I had a little time to kill. We couldn't check into a motel a certain time. I got there a little bit early, and so I went in there. And they had a journal Bible. And, of course, they do something like that with the church publishers up in Michigan. But it's had a big old wide margin, Brother Rick, and had these lines on it. Of course, it got all kind of versions in them things. But I looked up, I found one King James. I didn't get it because I didn't have the money on me to do it. But I said, that'd be great. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful? Talking about just recollection. Just start reading in your Bible. And you need them lines on it if you like me, because you'll be writing all over the pages. You know, you write them lines. And just start out in Genesis. And read two or three chapters a day. And then just write down what the Holy Ghost gives you. Huh? Just that and all. Huh? Just read it and write and read and write and read. And write. Here's one more thought here. Not only was Paul here, I find a preacher and a pioneer and a people person and a partner with the Lord's churches and their projects and all. But I find him, last of all in this chapter, he's the prayer seeker. He's a prayer seeker. You say, preacher, where do you find that at? Look with me there, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren. He's begging them. I was pleading with them. That's what that word beseech means. He now beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And hey, you ain't going to pray no greater prayer, huh, to be answered than to do it in the name of Jesus, right? For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And for the love of the Spirit. Huh? And that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Man, I need your prayers. Paul needed these dear people's prayers. He wasn't wasting words when he said, would you just pray for me? Pray that God would do a work through me. Do a work in me, first of all. Keep me right with Jesus. Amen. So that I can be right when I give out his good news to somebody around me. He was a prayer seeker. Huh? That you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Every time a missionary goes to a place, the devil's got there before him. And he's going to do everything he can to obstruct the word of God. He's going to do everything there to attack his family. He's going to do everything he can to knock him out of the ministry. He's going to do everything he can to send him back home. Brother Rick and I, who served so long on mission fields, we've seen that. I've seen a little missionary couple, and I can't use a name tonight. The last time I saw that man, he had left France, and he was back in South Carolina. And I looked him up at a Walmart. He was working in sporting goods. He was quit the ministry, wasn't preaching anymore and all. But I can remember when they came to France, Brother Ricky, and I can remember I was going to teach. We'd left the first work there in the hands of that young French pastor that was there for 20 years, pastored that the first church we started there in Marseille. And I went to see them. They wanted to see us. We were working out through Maranatha at that time. And his wife, when I got through the Bible Institute that night, I went by to see him. I can remember that little gal grabbing her hair. It was so, the French would say boucle, so curly and all. It was short, but it was just his natural curls that she had. And I can remember her taking her hair and grabbing her hands like that and pulling that hair just out of those natural curls up to about that and then slamming her fist down on that and screaming like she was having a baby or dying. And it wasn't very long before that they left the country of France. I got out of the ministry. I was blessed a few years ago when we were over at AMA where some of you folks came and worked with us, and their son had graduated from the Air Force Academy out here in Colorado Springs, and he was on a TDY, Brother Ricky, come from Lackland, I believe, down in Texas, and was going up to Montgomery, one of those bases there, wanted to come by and see us. And I remember that little fellow was over there, man, he's 23, 24, just proud Air Force pilot, you know, now and all that, and everything. Hey, I got to wondering, was there a church back home? Was there somebody back there in their home church? Or maybe in some of their supporting churches? That could have kept that sweet couple laboring for Jesus in France instead of working for the state of such and such state and working in a Walmart for the husband. Paul said, I'm going to have some problems. I'm going to have some troubles. I'm going to have some trials. I'm going to need somebody that's going to be praying for me, praying with me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. And then last of all, he says, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. He was a prayer seeker. If a missionary needs anything, sure he needs support. But a lot of times, I guarantee you, old boy says he might be able to live on some rabbit tracks too and win pudding for a little while. If he's got somebody that's praying for him, holding him up before the Lord. I wanted to use another illustration, but I don't have time and I won't use it. But hey, thank God that a missionary that's called, that wants to be used and has that vision, hadn't lost it, Brother Ricky, Pastor, can keep on keeping on until Jesus calls him on. And he'll do that when he's got some good people. That was our first thought, wasn't it? Huh? Paul saw their goodness. And you'll just, in the goodness of God and the grace of God in your life, just keep on praying for them. Keep on supporting them. Huh? Keep on pitching in there, doing what you can.